We're working for a Middle East royal family in Beverly Hills, and we have American culture. Well, they have Sharia law culture, and that's the two different cultures that a lot of security agents and executive protection agents really struggle with. I was just being friendly. And 2 days later, I got fired because I was being too nosy in his custom. That mistake cost me $20,000 for that month of work.
Choose not to live in a world of filters. Realize your mistakes. Set the foundation for your success. Get some wins. Knucklehead Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Knucklehead Podcast. You got with you today, the Knucklehead, and I'm excited to talk with you a little bit today about, well, quite frankly, this is 2021. There's a lot of time this past year where we spent, oh my goodness, talking about the craziness that is 2020. And we got smacked in the face at the beginning of 2021 also. So those of you who are listening know that I live in Texas. And what's great is the guest who's going to be on with us today, he's not from Texas, but he was just in Texas. So he understands that there's a lot of people reeling from this freeze that we had just recently. The snowpocalypse is what I've heard it called. So it's not like 2021 is starting all that much differently than the way 2020 ended. I'll just put it to you that way. But I know we're thankful we persevere over here at Knucklehead Podcast. So anyway, today we've got the Knucklehead Steve, and I've got the honor and privilege to introduce to you Mark Ledlow. And Mark is coming from us based off a referral from a referral. And what's cool about this podcast world is Mark has done some cool things on the security side. At the beginning of this, starting this podcast, there's no reason whatsoever that I would have any interest whatsoever in talking to somebody who runs a security company. And Mark actually has his own show. When I originally contacted Mark, Mark said, hey man, I'd love to chat with you. But guess what? I'm tied up with this UFC Hall of Famer in the middle of Oklahoma. Gonna have to get back to you. And immediately I'm like, what? You're talking to a UFC Hall of Famer? Who in the hell are you talking to? And it was Frank Mir. And I love, and I want to hear a little bit more backstory about that. But I've got Mark Ledlow today. I'm gonna shut my pie hole. I want to introduce you to Mark. Mark runs a security company. Actually, I'm gonna butcher his backstory, but I want you to pay attention. The reason why you should pay attention, I don't care what kind of business you run, whether you run a security company, contracting business, maybe you run a well-oiled machine already. Like we've had guests on the show who are VPs of departments at huge company, Fortune 500 businesses. And the way that they think about running their particular business is the way that entrepreneurs think about running their business. So the way that you build systems, the way that you build processes, the way that they work really, really well is if they've been screwed up in the past. Right. So what I'm excited about is Mark to share a few of the learning lessons, the painful, maybe stubbed toes along the way. So Mark, how in the hell are you, man? It's nice that you're taking some time to talk with us today, buddy.
Thanks, Stephen, for having me on. Super fight to you, brother.
You bet.
And that one of those Marine Corps things that we do when we see each other in great our formal greetings, Marine Corps style. Doing well. I can't complain. I've been blessed. This podcast thing, like you said, has been like a rocket ship. And I've been honored to have the guests I've had on my podcast since day one. Michael Trott, former CIA operative guy, protected George Tenet and wrote a book about it. And yeah. Yeah. So I've been blessed. I've been humbled and I just love it. I'm having a blast doing this.
All right. So let's dive right in. So when it comes to security, I want to set the foundation for folks, right? And so for those of you who've been listening, you know, Knucklehead Podcast is brought to you by Knucklehead Media Group, right? So Knucklehead Media Group, we bring dead leads to life through podcasting. If you're wondering how to monetize your B2B podcast or understand how to carve out your own niche, or you actually want to have some distribution help, post-production, that's what Knucklehead is for, right? So what Knucklehead Podcast is Knucklehead Podcast is an opportunity for you to sit back and listen. Sit back and listen, absorb a little bit of the lessons of people that have screwed up along the way, right? In today's, I don't want to call it the social media world, but in this kind of 1 to 2 degrees of separation, this kind of digital experience, if you will, there's a lot of opportunity to present something you're not. And I think it forces bad habits, in my opinion, Mark, if I'm just going to be honest with you. It forces bad habits and it almost rewards them too, to a certain extent. It rewards folks who are really good at presenting, but not necessarily good at executing, who are good at marketing operations, but not necessarily good at sales follow-up and follow-through. They're good at, you know, putting together a presentation, but they're not necessarily good at reading a room and understanding people. And, you know, in the Marine Corps, one of the things that we pride ourselves as a differentiator between some of the other services is small unit leadership. So somebody has a small amount of experience. If they jump into a leadership role, or if they have the opportunity to earn the opportunity to lead, what happens is they're going to be in charge of a small group. And that small group is part of a bigger platoon, like fire team, and then squad, and then platoon, and then platoon, and then company and the company, and then, you know, yada, yada, yada. It just goes on from there. So when it comes to security, what in the hell does that have to do with business? So I'm fascinated by this connection, and I need your help connecting the dots. So help me understand a little bit about the security business, how you got into it, how your time in the military actually helped you prepare for this now, and a little bit of backstory about you.
Yeah, my backstory, you know, Marine Corps vet, did my 8 years plus, went to college. I used the reserves and the GI Bill, got my criminology degree.
Where at? Where'd you go?
I went to Southern Oregon University in Southern Oregon.
Okay.
And all right. Majored in criminology there, minored in psychology. And while I was doing that, I was actually a correctional officer in the juvenile facility system.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Okay. Can you imagine that? Breaking up fights with adolescents and teenagers. That's what I did.
How many times you get punched in the face, like inadvertently, because you're breaking up a fight between two people?
Well, thanks to the Marine Corps line fighting training we had in the Marine Corps, I knew how to do pretty well. And people said, where did you learn that move? I said, Marine Corps.
Nice.
Whatever they taught us, it worked.
Wow.
Never got punched in the face, but I did a lot of, I don't know if it was Krav Maga or I don't know if it's judo, whatever they taught us to do. Yeah,
breaking up fights between two adolescents, I can just imagine. Shout out to all the school teachers out there. We know, well, pre-COVID, who knows if they're back in school now, but.
Right. But yeah, I was working there at the juvenile corrections facility, and I was a reserve cop as well in Oregon, and I was going to school full time, and I was a busy guy. I'm like, wow. And it's amazing the mindset the Marine Corps gives you to take on more and more and more, because you know your threat, you know your limitations mentally. And all of a sudden, it's interesting, before I went to the Marine Corps, in college, I was academic probation. I just sucked in school. I go in the Marine Corps, go in the reserve unit, and I'm like 4.0. So I had a little mental shift going on during that boot camp time. I don't know what happened. Maybe I did too much personal IT on the quarterdeck or something. This pool of sweat underneath me just did something. It's like through psychosis. And
you went through pain. You went through that common suffering in the Marine Corps that we call boot camp. Yeah, we understand. So, we understand. And for those of you who are listening who didn't go through boot camp, you go pull it up on YouTube. Go check it out.
Right. And so I think that was the door that opened psychologically for me for my continued success. And everybody said, I was thinking about leaving Southern Oregon. I just didn't see myself wanting to be a cop in Southern Oregon. I didn't see the challenges.
Did you grow up there, or would you grow up?
I grew up in Southern Oregon. I was a wildland firefighter during the summertime while I was going to school part-time. And
is that a volunteer fire? Is that like community-based volunteer firefighter?
It was actually with the state of Oregon. It was a paid position.
And no kidding. We're
a paid position, and it's a seasonal position, and I was on the hot shot crew.
Wow. That's incredible. So, fun fact, has nothing to do with this. I have a friend who's in the middle of Montana working for the VA as a firefighter. And it's like, time out. You do what? Where? Hold on. That's bizarre. So anyway, side tangent. Let's get back to you. I apologize. Go ahead.
So yeah, my DNA has always been wired to save, protect. It's always been in my DNA. And from firefighting and to law enforcement, corrections, always, you know, protecting the public interest. And then, you know, got out of school, and in 2008, the crash hit. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? You know what? I'm going to move to Southern California. Everybody goes, are you nuts? Nobody wants to move to Southern California. So everybody's moving from Southern California to Oregon. I'm going from Oregon back to LA going, you know what? You only get one shot at life. Might as well make it count. And so I moved down there, got my carry concealed weapons permit. And then, you know, 15, 16 years later, here we are. And it's been a wild ride.
All right. So let's dive into what I'm hearing is I'm starting to hear a little bit of a pattern. I'm starting to hear this pattern of you have some structure provided, and some structure is provided through institutions. And those institutions, you know, what they do is they provide you at least the baseline to go and perform. Whenever you were dealing with the juvenile delinquent program, did you ever experience this? All right. It's difficult to describe this. All right. So you have a presentation, like people who are organized in their delivery, they're polished in the way that they present things, like they're street smart, but every time they kind of were in the, you know, in front of the probation officer, or in front of, you know, the powers that could smack them down even more, they were fine. But it's like, as soon as they left that accountability, they just, the wheels fell off. Am I just completely imagining that, or is that true? Does that happen?
What you're dealing with is the psychology of those adolescents. They live in chaos. The minute you give them structure and organization in the detention center, give them routine, they snap. Because in their world, they come from chaos. you give the institution a protection, planning, routines, and they just go ballistic because they're so used to living in chaos.
That's interesting. So do you find that there's some parallels between, you know, in a security business, run a security business, you know, identifying people who feel as if they're having to neutralize threats around you? Do you find that there's some parallels there? And the fact that you had some experience in that world kind of set the foundation for what you're doing now, or is that even not related?
Yeah, I think you have a connection there, because in the juvenile corrections, in order to survive on your daily shift, you got to read the body languages. You got to read what they're doing, what their behaviors are doing. And then in the bodyguard world, or executive protection, as we call it, you got to watch behaviors around your principal that you're protecting. Say it's a rural family from the Middle East and they're on Rodeo Drive. Now you're reading, you're doing Secret Service profiling, and that's what you're doing. And yeah, I took a lot of that from, I learned in the juvenile corrections and all that, and 8 years of that. And then I probably applied it in the field, not realizing I was doing it. It was subconscious.
Well, either that, or you dipped your toe in the water and were like, all right, hey, listen, I like the way that this works. So if I'm hearing you correctly, there's some Marine Corps experience. Are you doing that at the same time that you're doing this juvenile correction officer deal?
Yeah, I was in the reserves as well, going up to Eugene, Oregon, doing my one drill weekend. And then I was going to school and plus working during the day. So I was busy.
All right. So let's talk real quick about this then, because I think we're starting to hover over kind of our target, so to speak. And that is screw ups, things that have caused some pain along the way. Security is not something that you would hear if you lived in rural Nebraska, right? What I mean by that is hired executive protection. What is it about the security business? How many screw-ups that have happened along the way that would cause somebody to realize, you know what, I need to talk to this guy named Mark, or I need to talk to somebody who's a Mark type to come up with a plan on how to keep myself safe? Like, talk through this a little bit about some common mistakes that folks that you work with would make whenever they're trying to evaluate whether or not they actually need your service.
Well, the first mistake is not knowing your threat, not knowing your risk, not knowing how to analyze your threats. What is your threat? And with me today, I have Mike Trout's book, The Protected. In this book, he covers everything you design in a security program from A to Z. Mike Trout was one of his clients, I probably shouldn't say, I don't know if it's said in this, so I'll keep that confidential for Mike Trout's sake. So I just had the NDA thing in my head, but he discusses threats. He discusses risk mitigation and all those type of things. And so that threat could be workplace violence. Let's say Fox, for example, has a threat. They terminate an executive, and that executive likes to have toys and weapons out on the weekends up in the hills of LA. And he sends off an email to the president and say, oh yeah, well watch this. I got all these pictures and you're going to have my revenge, as an example. And they call me and my team and go, hey, we think we need armed guys down here that are either retired cops or retired military with concealed weapons permit, legally licensed, insured, to help us out and keep our employees safe. And that's kind of where Ludlow Security Group comes into play.
And so just that example, did you just come up with that off the top of your head? I mean, or walk us through a little bit of how that happens. Like, so what screw up along the way even uncovered that this would be a thing that you'd be interested in actually doing? Like, what happened where you were like, you know what? I'm good at this. This is actually an opportunity for me to go perform my service here. Like, what was it that actually spurred this happening?
Well, I was working a job for a big entity. I don't want to say branding name because they don't pay me to say that, but they're a worldwide security company, and they do investigations and they do armed and uniform. And I was doing a job for them in Southern California back in the early 2008 on a well-known Indian tribe down there. And I was on a close protection assignment. I'm seeing the money coming and go. I'm making the most money I've ever made in my life. I'm like, whoa, there's some money in here. And you start hearing about the invoices. You start talking to directors in these organizations and the bill rates. You're like, whoa, there's some serious money in this business. And I'm like, and then you're working and you realize how much you're making and you realize how much the guys that have the contract are making. You're like, huh, there's a business side of this. And then all of a sudden the business world started turning in my head. And I've had some mentorship that are multimillionaires that I've been around and talked to and learning what, you know, I always learned that the most expensive thing you'll ever buy in your life is your time back. That'll be the most expensive thing you ever buy in your life.
It's interesting. It's a great lesson. You know, think about all the years vested that you had to get to that point where that lesson meant something, right? I think that that's, that's an important lesson to, for those of you who are listening. All right. So for those of you who are just jumping in, right, there's from time to time, what we have is we have net new listeners that'll come and they'll listen to Knucklehead Podcast. Really, the whole thought process of Knucklehead Podcast is to provide an opportunity to do what we're doing here. Talk about the things that you've screwed up along the way. Do we want to focus on what you've screwed up, or do we want to focus on the takeaways from the screw up, the learning lesson, so to speak, the hard, the difficult moments, that visceral reaction that you get whenever you're in the moment of screwing up? Like, what was the knucklehead thing that you did that actually led to the success that you're seeing, right? So Mark is fortunate to have lived, you know, quite frankly, just lived through some different institutional type training to be able to capitalize the systems build that you get in terms of experience there, and then parlay that into an opportunity to lead him to where he is today. And so one of the things that we talked about before the show, Mark, was really some screw-ups that happened in the transition from, you know what, there's an opportunity here. I want to go take advantage of it. So talk real quick about maybe what one of those times looked like for you, if it's okay with you. You don't have to give away a whole lot of PII, if you know what I'm saying. Keep it confidential. So
go ahead. Keep it confidential. We're working for a Middle East royal family in Beverly Hills. And, you know, we have American culture. Well, they have Sharia law culture. And that's the two different cultures that a lot of security agents and executive protection agents really struggle with, is understanding the give and takes and what's customary. Well, to make a long story short, I was dealing with the handler of a principal in Beverly Hills in a hotel. And he goes, Mark, good to see you, you know, in Middle Eastern language saying hello. And I'm like, how are you? And he's like, how's your family? You know, where are you from? Is your family good? And so naturally, as an American custom, it's natural to reciprocate that interest. Well, so I said, so-and-so, it's good to see you. How's your family doing? What's it like to be traveling? I was just being friendly. And 2 days later, I got fired because I was being too nosy in his custom. I'm like, whoa, that mistake cost me $20,000 for that month of work.
2 days. Yep. For context, at most, if you're a Marine, you're working 24 hours over the course of 2 days.
Exactly.
No. I'd say on average, you're probably at most working, if you're a Marine, you're working, you could probably work all 48 of them, to be honest with you. I've done it before. So in the civilian world, if you're working 16 of those 48 hours, right, of your work day, that cost you 20 grand.
Yeah, because usually on how days work, they do two shifts. They do day shift and night shift. And they want same faces in that culture. They want that comfortability. They want to know who's going to be there. And they want you there for the 30 days of their medical visit or vacation, whatever they're doing. They want you there 30 days straight without a day off.
So I think it's important to hover over what we're talking about here, right? So in the moment, it didn't take 48 hours. I set the context there because that's the framework that you talked about. Really what it was is talking about 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes of just banter where your guard got lowered. And what happened is the risk associated with that, the opportunity cost of those 2 to 3 minutes, 180 seconds, cost you 20 grand. Mm-hmm. And it was a valuable learning lesson. So, you know, set the table, so to speak, for the listeners here on, when it comes to business, how would somebody who's never been placed, you know, in that scenario where they have an opportunity to learn something that valuable, like, how would you apply that? Would you apply that to people who don't know who they are? Would you apply it to just process and systems building? How would you apply that lesson into building a business the way that you build a business today? Training? Like, what is it?
You have to know, you need to have a retainer in place. When it, never go into business with somebody from out of country without a retainer and some contractual written up by attorney and made for the laws of that state, being California. That's the first lesson you learn. The second lesson is there's a lot of cash deals that take place. And so there's a lot of unreported cash flowing from A to B. And then you got to report your taxes. And a lot of guys in the industry don't want to report it because they, you know, want to pocket that money. And if you get caught, the IRS finds out, and you start dumping money in your account over $10,000. Those veterans are making a $40,000 detail in 4 months. They're going to have to report that to the IRS if they, you know, with those deposits made. And so, A, you need a 1099. You should, in California, it's illegal to be a 1099 contractor. It's illegal. You need to work under a business license that's insured and got workman comp and all that stuff in case you have to pull your gun out and protect your principal. And that's why the insurances are so high down there. I mean, 40%, 60% margin just in overhead to pay California to protect yourself.
Yeah, that's outrageous. Bizarre. Yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, there's so many different things that I want to get into there that I don't even want to get into right now. And that is ridiculous. So if you want to understand more about that, contact Mark. He'll tell you how to get in touch with him here a little bit. So let's take these last couple minutes here. For those of you who are listening, what we're doing is we're sitting down with Mark. Mark Ledlow, prior Marine, spent some time, got his training as a correction officer. So what's cool about his time spending with Knucklehead Podcast is we've had MMA fighters on, right? We've had folks who are very proficient at taking their body, using different elements of their body as weapons. And then we talked to them a little bit about our slogan, so to speak, of don't be beta. And really what that means is don't be a beta about the process. There has to be this willingness to go put yourself out there in uncomfortable situations, which is kind of a prerequisite, right? For anybody who's ever accomplished anything significant, it's kind of a duh thing, right? Like, yeah, of course, you're going to have to do things that you're not comfortable doing in order to accomplish something you've never done before, right? So Mark's spending this entire time wearing the shirt called Fearless Mindset, right? And we've had other guests on before who've been able to do things in business that they haven't been able to do before. And they talked about some of the learning lessons that led to that breakthrough. Mark, what I want you to do real quick is I want you to kind of tie in some of what, you know, some of our previous listeners have done, like Tim Kennedy, right? Tim Kennedy is an MMA guy. He's a former UFC championship level contender. He's been on the Discovery Channel. And we've had Sherlinger Scales, who's she's a mom, but she was a single woman business owner who developed a brand based off of a family name. We've had government contractors come in. So essentially we've had people come in here and talk about the things that they did that they've screwed up along the way that have led to the success that they're seeing. When it comes to a mindset, fearless mindset, where we say don't be beta, what does that mean? And how important and critical is that to your business and you capitalizing on opportunities that come your way?
For me, I would say, like you nailed it, it's all about mindset and something we both learned in the Marine Corps to be fearless in our approach in life and don't be afraid to fail. I mean, I've fallen so many times, made so many mistakes. I've been fired a few times on different security projects. But with that, you adjust, you overcome, you pivot. And I'm glad that 2020 hit us. And I'm glad COVID-19 hit us, because if it didn't hit, I would not be doing podcasts today.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a podcast. You have a security business. What's your podcast? Tell people where to listen to you.
You can catch us on iHeartRadio, the Fearless Mindset Podcast with Mark Ledlow. You can find me on Instagram at Mark David Ledlow and at Instagram at Ledlow Security Group. And LinkedIn, Mark Ledlow. And we're pretty much all over the place. Yeah.
So those of you who are listening to the podcast, stop, go ahead and stop. Just go ahead and put it on pause. Then go over to the search icon and whatever app you're listening to, iHeartRadio, whether it be Spotify. If you're listening on Good Pods, good for you. Actually, you know what? If you're listening on Good Pods, leave a review saying, I listened to this on Good Pods, and then go tag them on Twitter. Say, Good Pods, I found the Fearless Mindset. Go to the Fearless Mindset on Good Pods. Leave them a review and let some people know that you learned something about what the Fearless Mindset did for. You've had some recent guests. You've had Frank Mir. Right? It's the only one I know of.
Yeah, Frank Mir.
Tell me a little bit about some of the other guests that you've had. Tell people why they need to go listen.
Frank Mir was, I love the guy. He's just so smart. And not only is he a fighter, but he's a thinker. He's a reader. He reads a lot. And he's a businessman in addition to that. And I've had Bruce Weimer, who was a spy, espionage spy. And Vladimir Putin refused to shake his hand.
That's got to be some scuttlebutt type conversation. I'm sure there's more to that story than what meets the eye.
Yeah, he goes into detail. He's coming out in a few weeks on the Fearless Mindset podcast. Bruce Weimer, he's with G4S. He's a director.
All right, so we've got Bruce Weimer. All right. So let's. What are we talking about? We're talking about Good Pods. Go to Good Pods. Go to Twitter. Go let Mark and Steven know that you listen to Bruce Weimer. What's his last name?
Bruce Weimer.
Bruce Weimer's podcast, where he talks about not Vladimir Putin not shaking his hand.
He was scared of him. He actually had threats from Al Qaeda for his life.
What? Oh my good Lord. I don't even know what water I'm swimming into here. My goodness. Let's put a kibosh on this here pretty quick. My goodness. All right. So let's do this. All right. So Mark, let's land this plane this way. Tell people the impact. You quantified it to a certain extent with the, 3 minutes costing you $20,000. But let's talk a little bit about the cost of not leveraging the way people consume information now running a security business. Let's talk about the mistake and we'll end it here. Whenever you ran a security business, you got years of experience doing this. What is the cost and impact of not designing your product or service the way that people are consuming information now?
It puts you out of business within a month if you don't do it correctly. You need to have legal counsel representation to drop a contract. The biggest problem I see in the security industry is a handshake and a verbal. You can lose hundreds of thousands of dollars just over that. It's so crucial to have legal representation. It may cost, you know, $1,000 for a letter, but you have a binding contract. This the verbal agreement or the handshake means nothing in court of law, and people know it. And I see a lot of guys doing business without retainers. And guess what? You got to pull equity out of your house to pay your labor. Really? I mean, you're talking about guys that were retired cops or veterans getting in the business. They really don't know what they're doing sometimes. Sometimes they do. And that's the biggest mistake I say. I heard a guy say, oh, I pulled equity out of my house to float payroll. Ugh. Just mistakes like that. There's best practices out there. You need to talk to a CPA to have you walk through that. Have a good attorney, a business attorney to write up contracts. And I'm currently going through one right now in Southern California for a future client that we're going to probably be retaining here pretty soon. But you got to, you know, insurance. You got to cover yourself because you don't want to lose your personal assets. You got to protect that. That's why I have an LLC. So there's so many mistakes a lot of people make. They just don't know what they don't know.
All right. So what you just talked about there, I think it's important. Let's hover over this and let's wrap with this. So cops, former military folks that are just running businesses, you're talking from experience here. And, you know, you probably have some examples of folks. It almost infuriates me that's something that you have to not necessarily have to deal with, but that happened to people that you know doing what it is that you do. Did making that mistake or that screw up lead to a success that those folks are looking at? Or are we talking about people who are no longer in business?
I know one guy personally, I'm not going to name names on this, but he was sued twice because he didn't do things correctly. He was trying to underboard, make more profit, and it instead cost him. But you gotta do things right by that state and do them legally. Yeah, it might be more expensive, but you don't run the risk of getting sued like that. We had a guard shoot somebody that bear spray in Colorado during the protest. Well, we know the rest of that story. Both of those companies got sued and both of them lost their license to operate. Just little things.
You know, you touched on a good point. And I think that's actually a good place to wrap. So I think what I'm hearing here and the lesson for those of you who are listening is, whether you run a security business, whether you run a multimillion dollar organization, whether you're, you know, in a consulting gig, whatever it is that you're doing, there's this tendency to not make a mistake. There's this tendency that you want to have to, you know, talk about something that you maybe not necessarily well educated about, or you wanted, you know, there's something there where you want to present something like you have a solution when you don't. And so there's this tendency, I guess is probably the best way to put it. There's this tendency to want to do that. My encouragement to you is to go back and listen to the beginning of this episode, start to finish, and hear of the 6 or 7 examples that Mark just laid out for us as to why that's not necessarily the great strategy. And then also on top of that, a great place and a resource to go ask for some help. That's what we want to get you to get from this particular episode. Know that there's people out here who are here to help. Mark just told you a couple of different ways that you can get in touch with them. Mark, what's the best way, somebody who's listening to this episode, that they can get in touch with you and you tell them, you know, spending a couple minutes with them and giving them some input or, you know, potentially helping them with some of the security things that you're working on?
Go to ledlessecurity.com. That's my website. And then there you'll have a place where you can send an email. It will queue me in my Gmail account and I'll get it. And I would be happy to help anybody there. But yeah, or LinkedIn, reach out to me on LinkedIn or ledlessecurity.com and Mark@ ledlowsecurity.com also.
Nice. All right. Well, he just gave you three places. There you go. Gave you three places to get in touch with them there. There's a lot to go through. I appreciate you taking some time. Any saved rounds, anything else that we need to cover before we jump?
I think we covered a lot of ground. I think we're good.
I think we did too. That was fun.
How'd you guys thaw out in Texas?
Yeah. It was almost 80 degrees today. Can you believe that? It was awesome.
I was there. There's 3 feet of snow on the ground in Oklahoma. 2 weeks ago.
It's crazy. That's great. That's Texas for you. So for those of you who are listening, who are not in Oklahoma, who are not in Texas, and who don't care about Texas weather, we understand. Leave us a comment and tell us what the weather is like for you today. That's what I want to know. Let us know in the review. Say, hey, listen, Steven, I listened to this episode and it was 72 degrees and balmy because I listened to it in the Caribbean. That's fantastic. All right. So for those of you who like listening to Knucklehead Podcast, new episodes coming at you every week, right? We aim to get them to you on Tuesdays. Yes, I'm going to do some pushups for you because I'll use some episodes for the rest of 2021. That's okay. You'll get used to it. It's okay. Those of you who like listening to podcasts, Mark just told you exactly how you can get in touch with his. Go leave him a review. Best thing you can do for him as a podcast host is actually leave him a review. Let him know what you thought of his episode with Frank Mir. If you happen to like the backstory of the spy that's going to be on his show, you know, in a few weeks talking about how Vladimir Putin wasn't going to shake his hand. That's a fun story because who else do you know that actually gets to talk to Vladimir Putin, let alone, you know, that's interesting. So check it out.
Also, we have Brent Gleason coming out March 23rd. We're dropping Brent Gleason, Navy SEAL out there.
There you go.
All right. So he'll be coming out too.
So a lot of high quality folks on his show. So my challenge is after you get done listening to this episode, go to his. Check it out.
Thank you.
Absolutely, bud. Absolutely. All right, guys. So that's it. Those of you who like listen, Knucklehead, we'll talk to you soon. Don't be a bait about the process. Go ahead and get you some wins. See y'all.